Ryan Walter is a different IQ. Although Wally had llamas at one point, so it's not like it's wildlife. Wally,
Really?
how are you?
Hi, guys. It's really good. How did
You
we go
had
from
la you
that?
had
How
llamas,
did we
didn't you, at
go to,
one point on the farm?
yeah, how did we go to llamas? I mean, what is this, a farm show or what's going on, Perry?
Well, because we were talking about Tiger Kings, this rage
I
on
know.
Netflix, right? And I said, you're too smart to watch that show, but you did have llamas at one point in your place
We
in
did.
Langley. So that's probably as close to exotic animals as you get. Hey, you don't know what you're going to get in the morning show now, Wally. That's how we got to
Yeah,
it.
totally,
How are you, my
totally.
friend?
It's a really good, Perry. Really good. We've gone from talking about why the power play isn't working to who's got llamas on their farm.
That's the world. That's the world we're in now.
I know. I know, it's crazy.
Hey, have you watched any of these? And you're such a busy guy with all your speaking, and I want to get into that too. But last night I'm sitting there watching the 1982 Chicago Vancouver game two where the white towel goes in. You lived it, you've played it, but do you ever spend any time if an old game is on to watch it?
Great question, Perry. Once in a while, if it catches my attention, I'll sit down and watch a piece of it, and it's pretty fun, actually. But I don't tend to, organize my life around, games that were played between the 70s, 80s, and 90s. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, you look back. I had a friend of mine say to me the other day. My son said to me as we were watching the game, and it was like in the early 90s, he said, "Oh my goodness, they played hard. That was a tough game back then." So it is sort of fun to look backwards.
Well, you look at the, I mean, in that sort of period, I mean, it's what you could kind of get away with physically that you can't get away with now, right, Wally?
Absolutely. That's absolutely what it was. And with the one referee, you sort of you did what you could, and you, if you got away with it, a lot of players in the day would look behind their back, see where the ref was positioned, and then end up, making a little chop on the back of the calves or whatever. Now, I never did that, guys, but I heard that that was something that was done in the past.
No, you never would. Do you, Ryan, did you learn that when you got to the league? Did you just learn that they were going to take it to a different level and you had to compete against the world's best?
Absolutely. And when you think of the first season that I had to I did some learning with that year we played tons of games in Philadelphia. They were coming off, obviously, the Broad Street Bullies, two Stanley Cup wins, and it was the way you played. I remember Max McNabb, our general manager, saying to me, "We draft players that will play in Philadelphia." And then, what was crazy in those days is you go from Philly, and they had more tough guys than they had goal scorers, and then you go into the island, and you've got to, play against Clark Gillies and all those guys, so Billy Smith might have been the toughest player in the league at that time, and he was their goalie. So it was a very interesting time in the league, and then I, obviously got moved into Montreal, and the rivalries between Montreal, Boston, and then Montreal and then Quebec Nordiques, like it just sort of keeps going. You'd go into a game and you'd think to yourself, okay. Wonder what's coming tonight.
Well, funny you mentioned Quebec Nordiques because I think we are approaching, well, as we approach Good Friday, that is always the annual anniversary of that Montreal Canadiens Quebec Nordiques playoff game that went absolutely crazy. Were you on the ice at that time?
Yeah, it was, and we all were at one point. And yeah, it was a crazy time, and I believe that that was the year that Jean Hamel, our defenseman, got sucker punched by Louis Slager, and lost the sight in his eye. So it was a scary time. And the interesting thing about brawls back in the day is you really had to know your players, you had to know your own teammates as much as you had to know the other team. you had to know if the guy would have your back. And you know, I remember having those conversations with guys like Knuckles Nyland, and that, you know, we in Boston one night, Knuckles got in a big scrap and then went after their bench. So their bench came after him. And of course, our bench has got to go. So yeah, it was a different era. I like the game now. I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying that it was different.
Ryan Walter with us here on Sportsnet 650. I mean, you played a couple seasons with the Canucks kind of at the back end of your career, but man, like, you spent a decade with the Habs and experiencing two Stanley Cup finals. And, you know, Cam Neely is on the latest edition of Spit and Chicklets on their podcast and talking about understanding just what that rivalry meant between Boston and Montreal. You know, from that time, I mean, it's still got heat, but not to where it was, I would say, you know, from 20, 30 years ago. Take us through the 80s. It seemed like almost every year you guys met in the playoffs in the old Adams division there, Wally. I mean, what was that, the intensity? I mean, Perry was just talking about the Battle of Quebec, which obviously had its intensity, but boy, the battle, I mean, Montreal-Boston had to have a whole element of intensity as well, right, with the history.
Oh, it was crazy. It was crazy. You know, going into Boston, I can't remember exactly the year. I mean, I was traded to the Habs in 82, so it would have been sort of 83, 84, somewhere in there, maybe 85. But we're in the, you know, we're going to play Boston the first round of the playoffs, and that happened often. You guys would have to look that up quickly, but it would happen often in the 80s. We seemed to start off in Boston. And you remember back in the days, now we're going way back, guys, when it was a best of five first round. So we gave that up. We allowed the owners to go to a best of seven in a negotiation with the NHL Players Association. But that best of five, boy, you could be in and out quick. And I remember, you know, my first season in Montreal, boom, boom, boom. You know, all of a sudden we're out. And that was not a good thing when you played in Montreal. But Boston, so, you know, the last game of the season, we're going to play Boston the first round of the playoffs. And the last game of the season, guess where we're playing? In Boston.
Awesome.
how do you think that went, guys? Right? Like they were going to send a message, and they did, and we were going to have to survive the message. And that, you know, that game, I mean, first period I'm in a big scrap, second period another one, third period my I get hit in the shoulder, my stick turns by accident and hits Terry O'Reilly in the top of the head, and he's got no helmet on. So he looks at me and he says, "We got to go, Wally." And I'm thinking, I'm hoping he means Starbucks or Tim Hortons, right? We got to go.
He was tough.
Oh, my goodness. So anyway, those were the days. And, you know, I think you survived it. You know, the only good news for me is I'm an old timer and I played in the Western Hockey League. And, you know, you sort of got used to that stuff. Like you saw the odd brawl and, you know, you had the odd, because I was, you know, I had 52 goals my last season with the Seattle Breakers. You know, I had the odd tough guy come my way to try to take me off my game. So you learn. Nobody wants to do that stuff, but you learn about that stuff.
Ryan Walter joining us on the starting line at Sulkowski Sobalski. Wally, we had Ed Jovanovski. He joins us every Wednesday morning. We were talking about the 2002 Canadian Olympic team. Mario and Sakic, and Jovo was a young kid on that team. And we asked him as to, you know, who was the leader, who stood up for you? Is it Bob Gainey as the ultimate leader, and what made him so, if that's your answer?
Yeah, I would say so, Perry. I mean, I got a chance to watch Bob the longest and experience Bob and room with Bob. And, you know, Bob was a quiet leader. That's what I love telling people, the story about Bob Gainey is, you know, when we're doing leadership development stuff with, you know, teams and companies around the world, you know, the first thing I say to people is don't change, right? Grow, develop yourself, but don't change. And that was Bob to a T. Like, Bob was Bob. He was quiet. He was a little bit introverted at times, But, it, you know, he had fun. He'd have a big laugh. He'd love to have a beer with the boys. But when there was a message to be sent, Bob had this key word in leadership. Bob had credibility. And so when the message had to be sent, Bob sent the message. It didn't have a lot of words, and it always hit home. And I just think that, you know, from watching Bob, you know, I learned so much about developing, you know, young people into this leadership capacity that everybody seems to want from leaders these days. We live in an interesting era, you know, sort of by the time I was with the Canucks, I loved my 2 years with the Canucks. And then between that time and when I had a chance to do a little coaching, I would say that the captaincy really changed at the NHL level. It went from you gave the C to a leader on the team to you give the C to the superstar on the team. And that really adjusts the way that teams have to think about leadership, right? Because you have informal leaders on the fourth, third, and fourth line that don't have a letter. And that's okay. But it really adjusts the way that, you know, you sort of line up leadership, because everybody in the day would look at the C's on Bobby Clark or the C on Bob Gainey, right? You know, and the C on Dennis Potvin or whoever. So now, you know, it tends to be different. And Bob was an awesome leader.
Ryan Walter here on Sportsnet 650. Yeah, I always felt like my dealings with Bob, it's, man, when he spoke, every word seemed to be measured and just had some meaning behind them. It certainly came across that with Gainey. Tell me this. You were also there in the mid-'80s when all of a sudden the almost from out of nowhere rise of Patrick Roy. And when you talk about greatest goalies in history, whether you like the Habs or you hate the Habs or whether you were a Patrick Roy fan or not, I mean, he is up there. You know, I got him top two. I would probably take Dominic Hasek personally over Bois, but, I mean, you can flip a coin. I'm in a good place with either one of those goalies. But that run in 86, I mean, that was essentially almost out of nowhere, right?
Totally, totally. And here's a great story, and I hope that maybe young goalies or dads and mums of goalies will tell them this story. I don't think anybody's, you know, unless you played with Patrick and you practiced with him every day, you wouldn't see this. But Patty Waugh came into the league, and I'm trying to think, you know, what's so different about this guy? Like, what's, you know, he had the first thing Patrick has, and he had then and he has now, is a healthy ego. And you know, people say, well, you shouldn't have ego. Well, no, we all have ego, right? Sometimes people with the biggest ego can actually allow themselves to be humble, but ego is important. So he had that. Number two is he was like a skinny little goalie. Like, you know, he wasn't the big sort of wide goalies of today, and he was quick. But here's the key: Patty came into. I watched him in the first week of practice, and I thought, what is he doing? Patrick Waugh would get on the ice. You know how most goalies, so you guys have watched a lot of goalies in your time, you know, for practice or pregame skate, the goalie comes on the ice, and typically the goalie's a wannabe forward, right? Like they get the puck and they're shooting it and they're not Patrick. He knew what he was. He was a goalie. Patrick would get on the ice, skate right to the net, turn around, and it didn't matter if it was warm up, if it was like a pre sort of, you know, just having fun before the practice, Patrick Waugh was in net. He knew his identity. And then this is something, guys, that I've never seen another goalie do. And I don't think other people ever saw this. Patty Waugh would, you know, pucks, you know, in practices, I mean, by if you didn't pause the practice, there'd be, you know, 30 or 40 pucks in the net. Like the goalie just sort of, you know, he makes the save, but if the puck goes in, it goes in. This is practice, not with Patrick. What Patty did is he would try to save every puck that came at him. And if a puck went in the net, he would literally turn around, scoop it out, and then turn and get ready for the next shot. His philosophy in life was no pucks in the net. And that's what differentiates Patrick from the rest.
Yeah, he didn't want to lose no matter when it was. Wally, you live in the island life now. Just let people know what you're up to. You are traveling the globe. You are Mr. Technology. You've come a long way from sitting beside me on Air Orca and doing games. What's up with the family? What you're up to?
Thanks, Bear. And I loved our time together. That was a lot of fun. Those were good Canuck teams. Boy, when you look back at the Naslins and the Brendan Morrisons and all that group. You know, Jenny and I have five amazing kids that are, you know, we have our middle son Ryan's in Edmonton. He's a lawyer in Edmonton. And then, you know, four of the five are in White Rock, Squamish. And then Ben, our oldest, is over here in Ladysmith on the island. So we decided to get a little closer to the grandkids, and we bought a leadership retreat on Thetis Island. Now your listeners are going to have to look that one up. So Thetis, sweet little island, and we've got a place for executives to come, you know, do their training, do their planning, all of that. But, you know, Per, I wanted to send people to just our blog. If you get a chance, pop into RyanWalter.com, because the last blog that I wrote is on, we call it mind game. And this idea of, you know, hockey helping people through this virus time with the real focus on short shifts. And of course, the three of us know that we're not talking ice time, right? We're talking mindset. And to be able to take that short shift from, you know, that negativity, that the news that's out there, and find ways to move into a place where we're going to be productive and you know, really use these times to thrive is the article. So RyanWalter.com, and, you know, go to that Mind Games blog. Enjoy that. I'm writing a blog every week right now to try to encourage or inspire people through this hard time. So you're right, Per. We travel a lot. We go to clients, but now in our later years, which will be 10 years from now, we'll have a lot more clients come to us.
You've always had it figured out, Wally. Never a bad day. Thank you so much for the time. The best to your family. Nice to catch up to with you, my friend.
Thanks. And you guys stay safe. Everybody be good. Stay safe there.